Welcome to an original musical production for the Easter season, The Disciple Whom Jesus Loves, a multi-part story of the light that could not be overcome, told through the eyes of the one who never looked away. Brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. Part 17.
That morning, that would come to be called Easter Sunday, began in silence and fear, but it didn't stay that way. Heaven had already moved. The stone had already rolled. Death had already been broken. The voices of the frightened, the faithful, and even the false could not undo what God had done. A body no longer lay in the grave. A king had risen. And though the world tried to bury the truth beneath lies, the earth itself bore witness. The tomb was empty, and hope had awakened. The story of redemption wasn't over. It had just begun.
The chief priests are claiming that we stole Jesus' body.
There's a reward posted for our arrest.
That night, we were gathered in fear, still behind locked doors, until suddenly...
Peace be with you.
He stood among us, alive, wounded, yes, but alive and radiant. He showed us his hands and side. He breathed on us and said,
"Receive the Holy Spirit."
We laughed. We wept. We worshipped. It was true. He had conquered death, and nothing, nothing would ever be the same. Thomas, who had doubted, touched his scars and believed. Cleopas and another disciple walked with him on the road to Emmaus and only recognized him when he broke bread. And once, more than 500 saw him at once. There was no denying it. Death had been defeated.
You're quiet this morning, John.
It's hard to speak sometimes when the heart is full.
Is it full of joy or questions?
Both. I watched you die, Lord. I stood at the cross with your mother. The sky went dark, the earth shook, and I thought, this is the end. But now, here you are, alive, whole, and I don't know how to carry it all.
You will carry it. That's why I called you. Not just to walk with me, but to bear witness to light that shines in darkness.
I tried to be brave, but I was afraid. I couldn't stop them. I couldn't stop any of it.
You stayed. That mattered more than you know.
When you looked at me from the cross, I've never felt such love or such weight.
I entrusted my mother to you because I knew you would care for her. And one day I'll entrust my story to you because I know you will tell it with love, not just memory.
What if they don't believe us? What if the world mocks this truth?
Then you love them anyway. You testify to what you have seen and heard. You speak the truth in love, and let the Spirit do the rest.
Will you stay with us much longer?
For a little while, but not always in the way you expect. I go to prepare a place, but I also go so the Comforter can come. You won't be alone, John. Not ever.
I know your heart is heavy now. The road ahead feels dark somehow. You've seen the cross, you felt the flame. You carry grief, you carry shame. But I have walked where you will go. I felt the depths of human woe. And though my time with you seems done, lift up your eyes, the dawn has come. The Comforter will come. Fire and wind and peace, the Spirit sent from heaven will cause your fears to cease. You won't be left forsaken, you won't be on your own. The Comforter will come and make your heart his home.
Chains to end the night. You won't be bold in strength
sounds rise up from everyone. Remember what I promised you. I never left. I'm living through. The comforter will come with truth that sets you free. He'll teach your heart to love.
He appeared to us by the Sea of Galilee. It was early morning, the mist still clinging to the water's surface, the kind of quiet that settles before the world begins to stir. We had returned to fishing not because we didn't believe, but because we didn't know what else to do. The waiting was hard, the uncertainty even harder, so we did the familiar. We cast our nets, but the sea gave us nothing that night. Then, just as the sun crested the horizon, we heard a voice from the shore.
Friends, have you caught anything?
We hadn't. The voice called again.
Throw your net on the right side of the boat.
We did, and suddenly, the net surged with life. So many fish we could barely pull it in. It was then that realization struck like lightning in my heart. I turned to Peter and whispered, "It is the Lord." Peter didn't wait. He threw on his outer garment and dove into the water, swimming with the reckless joy of one who knows they're about to be forgiven. The rest of us followed in the boat, dragging the net heavy with fish. And there he was, Jesus, standing by a charcoal fire, just like the one that had once lit Peter's denial. But this fire was for restoration, not shame. He already had fish and bread waiting for us. He invited us to eat, not as servants, but as friends. He broke the bread just as he had that night before the cross. It felt like time folded in on itself, past and present merging into one eternal truth. He was alive, and he was still feeding us, not just with food, but with grace, with purpose, with peace. And after breakfast, he took Peter aside, not to rebuke him, but to restore him. Three denials, three questions. Do you love me? Each time Peter answered, more humbly, more honestly, and Jesus gave him a calling, feed my sheep. That morning by the sea wasn't just a reunion, it was a recommissioning. He met us in our returning, in our ordinary, and turned it into holy ground.
I failed him by the fire that night, denied his love, denied the light. Three times I said I didn't know the one who loved me so. But there upon the morning shore, he welcomed me with love once more. No angry word, no heavy blame, just grace that called my name. He still calls my name, even after all my shame. He still calls my name, tells me I'm not the same. Where I saw guilt, he gave me grace.
Before he ascended, Jesus took us to the Mount of Olives. He reminded us of the mission to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He spoke of the Spirit who would come. Then, lifting his hands in blessing, he rose into the clouds, out of sight, but never out of reach. We stood there for a long time, staring into the sky, hearts burning, souls awakened. An angel reminded us, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go. So we returned to Jerusalem, not in grief, but in purpose, waiting, praying, knowing the story wasn't over. It was just beginning. When I write it all down one day, what should I say?
Say this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory.
To be continued.